Chapter 4. Weighty Matters. The humans said I must keep a written diary of this expedition, which I complained was ridiculous since all I am is a living, breathing diary. But what if I died? They asked. I never think in those terms, since when I die, the non-redundant parts of my memory will be passed to my successor. But in fact, I might be physically obliterated out here, something that hasn't happened to a member of my family for 4,362 Aries. A certain amount of knowledge was lost that day, unrecoverable. So I have to agree with them, and am writing this down, though it is unutterably slow and imprecise, and includes the labor of translation, since we have no written language. English is their language. So I will use it, though French and Russian are easier for me to speak, since they have more sounds like our own. Not speaking my own language depresses me. Snowbird is missing her white language, too, perhaps more than I miss mine. Theirs is prettier, if less accurate. The consensus language we're constrained to use lacks both qualities, and English is unspeakable. Namir, my favorite human here, can converse with me in Japanese, which is the most pleasant human language I know. This is the 1st of May, 2088, the last day when our clocks and calendars will be the same as those on Earth and Mars. When we reach turnaround, halfway to our target, it will be August 13th, 2091, on the ship, but back on Earth, it will be July 2nd, 2100. Almost 9 years later. They say this is because of general relativity, though it makes no sense to me. They say our clocks run faster because we are moving, and although I know it's true, it also makes no sense to me. Snowbird seems to understand it somewhat. She told me that little t, which is our time, is equal to c over a times the hyperbolic cosine of a over c times Earth time, which is big T. I suppose it's true, but all I have to do is remember it. I think if I had to understand it, my brain would overheat and explode. We've been accelerating for 8 hours, and I think it will be 8 years before I get used to it, if ever. It's like carrying more than your own weight on your back. The instant it started, I had to shit. That's an impolite word for some reason, but is the closest human word to what we do. I went as fast as I could, which was slowly, into our living area, to the patch of dirt we use for recycling our toxins. Snowbird was already there, being younger and stronger, but she respected my seniority and allowed me to step in first. The extra gravity did accelerate the process, which is the only good thing I can say about it. I told the pilot, Paul, that I thought it was unfair, and asked him why we couldn't accelerate at Mars gravity, so everyone would be comfortable. He said it would take us more than 2 years longer to get there. I said if we're all going to die when we get there anyhow, as Namir says, then I should think he would want to take more time, not less. He laughed and said I was right, but he didn't turn down the acceleration. Perhaps he can't. It's all very strange, but I've been dealing with humans almost from the beginning, and nothing surprises me anymore. I should say something about the others, toward whose planet we are recklessly speeding. They created us Martians, evidently 27,000 Earth years ago. We are biological machines, as are humans, but humans are not in agreement as to who designed them. The others had observed humans evolving into tool-using creatures, then fire-using, and thought it was only a matter of time before they had starships, and would present a danger. Often this is not a problem, the others say, because when a race discovers nuclear energy, it usually destroys itself before it develops starflight. I take it we Martians were a mistake, overall. We did fulfill our major function, which was to notify the others that humans had developed the ability to go to a nearby planet. Then we, the Yellow family, did as we had been programmed and delivered a coded message to the humans, which gave them the basic facts about the others. One individual other had been waiting in the solar system for 27,000 years. His main function was to watch how the humans responded to this new knowledge and decide whether to let them live. He decided they should not live. But the automatic device that should have destroyed them didn't work. Humans moved it to the far side of their moon, and when it exploded, it hurt no one but the one Martian who was carrying it. Then the humans studied us Martians. Among other things, they figured out how we tap free energy from another universe. No Martian understands how that works, and I don't think any human actually does either, but they can use it, and it gave them Starflight, which I don't think was in the others' plans. The others say they have either destroyed or spared hundreds of intelligent races in this part of the galaxy, and have no record of having failed before. But I don't know about that. We of the Yellow family specialize in memory, not original thinking, but I do have a theory about the others. I think they're lying. We do have evidence that they are capable of marvelous things, like inventing us and modifying a part of Mars so that we had a place to live before we inherited the Earth. We know they can make a small bomb powerful enough to eliminate life on Earth, but that doesn't mean that everything they say is true. We have three sources of information about the others. The primary thing was the coded message, which was like an ancestral memory in the Yellow family. But it was not a regular memory. We had no access to it until we looked at a triggering light that came from the other who was watching us from Triton, the satellite of Neptune. I saw that light, and fell down and started babbling. And so did every other Yellow Martian who saw it. We all said the same thing. Three separate recordings give exactly the same nonsense sounds. A human researcher discovered that there were two simultaneous messages in our stream of nonsense. One was amplitude modulation, and it was like a pattern of ones and zeros, modeled after a method that humans had used attempting to communicate with other stars, what they call a Drake diagram. It told the humans something about the others. How long they had been in the solar system, the fact that they had a body chemistry based on silicon and nitrogen, and the fact that we were made by them. But there was a much more complex message hidden in the frequency modulation, an extremely concentrated burst of information that was in the language of the red Martian family. There is only one red individual at a time, and he, or she, is our leader. The red language is the most complex Martian language, the only one that has a written form. Our leader only had a couple of days to live. The bomb was inside him, and he had no time to analyze and write down the long message. But he had it in his memory, and translated most of it into our consensus language, talking constantly to Mars as he sped to the far side of the moon to die. I wish he had lived long enough to discuss the truth of what the others had told him through us. His replacement will be able to, but she won't be old enough to have mastered the language from any Ares. So, we go off to meet our mortal enemies, and most of what we know about them is from the pack of lies they told our leader, just before they murdered him.